Psalm 103 will feature this afternoon as we look to that question and answer of the Catechism. We look to God's Word as it's summarized in our confessions to treat the Lord's Prayer. This is where we just arrived in Vernon last week, been making our way through the Lord's Prayer, looking at prayer, what's important. The week before, we looked at the importance of giving glory to God as our starting point, as the main reason for all of our life. And this afternoon, we'll look more particularly to that question of the how-to. What does it look like to hallow God's name? The Catechism will mention both prayer and life. I won't focus so much on the life part of how we act this afternoon. That is an important part, but not all of it. Look more at what does it look like in prayer and the encouragement that we receive there. So, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. And ask the question, what does the first petition mean? The answer, hallowed be your name, means help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will not be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Let's now then read Psalm 103. As the Psalms are, of course, prayers and songs, and in that way also many of them give us an idea or some indication, examples of what hallowing God's name looks like. So there's many different psalms that we could have looked at. We'll also touch on at least one other one this afternoon. But the focus will be on Psalm 103. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, all in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the word of God for us this afternoon. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read, the Lord's Prayer starts with that first petition, hallowed be your name. And it may be somewhat unfamiliar language. I mean, we don't use hallowing that very often anymore. We likely
As we also read through the Catechism, understand what it means to praise, to glorify, to treat God's name with weight, majesty, importance, and respect. Have you ever asked, how do you do this? What does this look like? When you look at your prayers, do you always think, yes, let's start with hallowing God's name? This is an important question. So I was teaching catechism this year. One of the lessons was about this. Was we were doing treating the same parts of the catechism. You know, teaching kids is one thing that we often learn, also within Scripture, but we often probably tell ourselves, you know, that all of life is about the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do it for Thanksgiving. Do it to the glory of God. But do our prayers actually do that? Give glory to God. Not only do they do that, but does that like their starting point? If I would expand on this and I was looking at this topic a little bit more, I realize that God's glory is key to unity as a church, to having true joy, to also having the right perspective on what we should pray for. We even say, and I'll touch on this, but like even realizing that often our hearts have to be changed first. Like the things that we pray for, we do with the wrong desires, the wrong hearts. The only transformation comes as we start to hallow God's name. So I ask you again. Do you hallow God's name in prayer? And if so, what does it look like? Let's try to answer this question this afternoon by looking at Psalm 103 and using the Catechism as a guide. How to hallow God's name. And for those who are taking notes, I know I don't always have points, but I have four this afternoon. At least it will come up again and again, sometimes under different phrases. But anyways, first one is going to be thinking. You got to think, express, appreciate, and experience God's grace. At least four this afternoon. Think, express, appreciate, and experience God's grace. How to hallow God's name? Well, the starting point is going to be that we may rightly know God. That's the starting point. I believe that's also how it was phrased in the Catechism here. Help us to truly know you. God has given us his word. He has revealed himself that we may know him and know what he is like and who he is. And there really is no giving glory to God without knowing him. It's a great basic starting point. Then again, I also figure that most of you who are here this afternoon do know God. You say, yes, I know him. And I know his son, Jesus Christ. I believe in him. So does it mean like we're good to go? We can wrap it up now? Is that all that there is to say? Well, let's just consider what David does. He knows the Lord too. But then how does he where does he go in Psalm 103? You know, he's trying to encourage his own soul to praise God. And this is how he starts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David knows God, and he knows God, and he wants to praise him. He wants to do so from the bottom of his heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So what does he do? He tells us. He thinks. It's the first point. He thinks. And in this psalm, he thinks because he's mindful. He realizes that he's often forgetful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So he goes and then remember that the good that the Lord has done for him. God's very own goodness to himself. As if telling his own soul, let's count, let's remember all of the ways in which God has been good to me. And there almost seems like this progression in it, isn't there? But it's a wonderful list. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. As he goes through it, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? He's like, I was down in my sin and God saved me from that. But then there's illness and God helped me with that as well. Curing me, giving me life. But then he has redeems me from the very brink of death. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, a fullness to life. So much so that life is given good things to enjoy. Have this renewed sense of strength. He thinks. He looks back at his life and he doesn't think like, this is what happened. He's like, this is what God has given me. He sees them, that God's hand has been through it all. He observes God's work in his life, and so he remembers. Thinking, observing, remembering, all of those activities of the mind that flesh out what it means to know God as that starting point for hallowing Him. In fact, they are important. Because I don't think David is the only one who ever forgets the goodness of God. But David is not the only one who occasionally needs that encouragement. Speak to his own soul about the goodness that God has shown him. I think it's a good point to remember, especially if you're here this afternoon and you do struggle to pray. A while back, a book on prayer took the approach, kind of like this illustration, that almost like every night, in a way, every night our heart freezes over just a little bit, spiritually speaking, and it just needs to be warmed up, or the ice needs to be broken, chipped off, before we can pray. I don't know if that's helpful for you, but I do think the author was onto something, and it can be very helpful. Maybe you don't have to think of it as a frozen thing. You know, if you're more into engines, just think like it's more spiritual. Spiritually, we're more like a diesel. Sometimes it takes a bit to warm up. But I also think that that's exactly what David is doing. Doesn't just start to pray, praise you, oh my soul. And it takes the time to think and to observe and to warm up. And whether you do it this way by considering what God has given you in the past day or in the past week, whether it is that you just open up prayer or open up the Bible to start with Scripture. Realize, especially if you're struggling, that it may just be because you haven't knocked the frost off. And then you're like, if you're in that stage, and you then just say like, oh, I got 5 minutes, now I gotta pray, I better start going. Good chance that your prayer life is frustrating and a struggle. Find something that may be able to warm it up. But the remembrance of God's goodness, whether it is the revelation within his word, find something. Start by thinking. If you struggle even then to start, or to struggle where to start your thinking, I have two other suggestions. One, start with some aspect of who God is. And just one of his attributes, one of his characteristics, and try to expound on that. I'll get back to this a little bit later, but just think, what part of God's being is on your mind? What do you need within your life? And what do you observe about it? Because this is also what the catechism goes with, right? What, how do you hallow God's name? It's that you see, you observe God's almighty power, His wisdom, His kindness, His justice, His mercy, your truth. One of these things, or all of them, somewhere displayed within your life or around you or in God's Word, that you have something to praise Him about. Or two, very similar, but slightly different, start with the name or title of God. Right? Doesn't that how Jesus kind of teaches? Hallowed be your name. What is the name of God? You realize that in the Psalms, so often there's like this variety and an abundance of different names, different titles that are given to God, because that is a wonderful way of hallowing Him, but also a wonderful way of encouraging ourselves and leading us into prayer. Because there is a lot to observe and reflect and think about when it comes to the names of God. Take Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2 as an example. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So like 8 different names or titles that David gives to God, that he's seen God's wonderful provision within his life. There's repetition. And yet David seems like, I just can't quite capture what God has meant to me as that safety, that refuge within his life. And so he uses all the different metaphors and images to draw out how God's name is wonderful and glorious. Once we've done the thinking or the observing and remembering, the next part is that we express. Take time to think not only about what you observe, but to articulate and like declare it. Praise God with it. And in all honesty, I mean, this is very similar to the first step, and you may almost do it automatically as you think to express, but it's still worth making. And I think that those verses from Psalm 18 highlight this. I mean, David could have done his thinking, thought like, this is what God has just done for me, I want to praise Him, pray to Him, and he would have just said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. There, done, now it's on to his petitions. You see, but he realizes that to express it well, he just has to do so much more. All of these different titles, all of these different names. It's not just, I love you, O Lord, my strength. No, you're a refuge, you're a stronghold, you're a rock. Think about it in our own prayers. How often may we pray, Lord, you are good? What do you mean by that? How has His goodness been shown to you? How would you articulate that? Right? What have you observed that may help you to express that you love the Lord, or that He is good, or that He is powerful in just a different way, that that is expressed well? Think about how this applies to your own life and how this really is about hallowing God's name. Similarly, someone can tell you that they love you, or you can tell them that you love them. And they may say that, no, I love you. And it'll likely be appreciated. But what if that was done and it was actually given a reason for? I love you because this is what I've observed. I love you for what you've done for me. How you helped me. Or how you've helped someone else, showing kindness. I love you because of who you are. I see your kindness. You are generous. You are considerate. You are patient. Whatever it may be. Someone has taken the time to articulate well the ways in which they love you. Or you may have done that for someone because you love them. And it's in that very articulating and that very expressing that love is shown, isn't it? And so we do also may seek to do that in prayer. And if this is difficult for you, and I think it is for many of us, to articulate what you really observe and believe, maybe the Psalms are like a wonderful help, because as we've been looking at that, that's what so many of the Psalms drive at. I love you, Lord. These are the reasons. God is good. These are the reasons. They go through it all, adding all these different metaphors and images, and they just express it so well for us. Similarly, you may just find it, that good Christian music may be what you could use in the mornings. Not just to express well what you believe and what's on your heart. I think often they may, from some people, they may be the excellent way to chip off the ice in the morning and to warm up. Right, on the way to school, on the way to work, as you listen to one of your favorite songs or favorite hymns that will lead you just right into prayer. You wonder, why is that? Well, because these people, these songs, these hymns, whatever it may be, they articulate and express so well what you may have observed, what you may experience and feel in your heart. And there's just something wonderful, beautiful that you find in Psalm 103 about that it's not just you who see that, but that you may do that together. It's kind of the nature of praise, that it always wants to be shared and other people have to join in. If you have a hobby or you find something that you're absolutely crazy about and you love, what are you going to do? You say, like, hey, you got to see this. You got to come and look at this because you want to share in it. And that's what you find in Psalm 103 as well. Right at the end. Let all the angels join in. Let all of God's works and all of His dominion join in. Because it is together you may express and articulate so well the glory of God's name. So we think and we express what we see in God. This leads right into our third point. We do our best to express what this means for us. An appreciation of it. And after we've taken a good look at who the Lord is and what He has done, that we then may apply that to our own life, to our situation, and say just why exactly what it means to us in our situation, our life, or the petitions that we have. That God is not just lovely or majestic or glorious as something you have, well, I've observed from a distance, but that it has meaning and value to you. You somebody try to put a price on it, even though it's priceless, of what you have observed. Psalm 103 is a good example of this. The psalm moves from recounting all these different blessings that God has given David to expounding on what God's grace really meant for David and what significance it has. And even so, he starts thinking about the past. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So he's thinking of all the other people who are oppressed. He has made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. He's thinking back to the Exodus and all that God has done for His people in the past. But then it goes, this is who the Lord is. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And he starts to appreciate it for himself. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thinks about all that God is, what He has shown in the past, and then he's like, this is what it means for me today. Father, this is why I may praise You so deeply with all of my soul. Because You've been good to me. And we likely have all experienced something that revealed the importance of this to us. So have you ever had it where you've read certain Bible passages, stories, verses, like 100 times, maybe even more? But then that one time when you were doubting, when you were struggling, when you were rejoicing, when your circumstances had just changed because you became a parent or a grandparent, you had lost your job or you had moved away, whatever it may be, that something within that verse had new value to you. I mean, it was always there. You may have always appreciated it, but suddenly it had that new significance to you. And when you have sought to hallow God's name by thinking and expressing, apply it to your situation and what God has done or is doing for you in this moment. And what value does it have? What new significance has it taken on? What has become maybe more prominent in your confession of faith? And what you truly believe about who God is or what He has done? And what area in your life has God taken on, you know, increased value, increased brilliance, that you may then hallow His name by just appreciating that in prayer? And the more we practice in thinking and expressing, I think also then that gives the more opportunity to add variety and power, not just to hallowing God's name, but to the rest of our prayer, like also our petitions. Let me give an example of what I mean by this. When you take the time to consider God's name, various names or different titles, or whether it's His attributes, His characteristics, and then try to express what it means to you, you also grow by the grace of the Spirit in insight on how best to tie that all together with what you're also seeking in prayer. Because there's a good chance that you may have these petitions that you offer to the Lord all the time. Whether it's because you seek God's help because of a family member that doesn't believe, whether it's because of an illness that you're struggling with, whether it's because you wish to have a child and that hasn't happened, whether it is for something else that within your life, a job or an opportunity that you bring before the Lord again and again. But then you also run out of steam. If you've asked 1,000 times already, is the 1,001 time going to make a difference? How do you keep on going in prayer? Being persistent? Or maybe continue to start with hallowing God's name. But if you pray for someone within your family, you wish to be a believer. What if the one morning you appeal on the basis of God's goodness? In the passage, whatever it is, or whatever on your mind, you realize God is a father. He knows what it is to have a prodigal son. So we pray on the basis of God's goodness, His fatherhood. The next morning you appeal to God on His power. For how good it would be if just this whole family would see Your power, Lord. As You brought someone who was so stubborn, brought him to a renewed faith in You. The next morning you are filled with the glory of God's faithfulness. Maybe you're a parent and you say, Lord, I know this child of mine has been baptized and You've given Your promises. Be faithful. They may be unfaithful. Father, You be faithful to these promises. The next day you fill yourself with the wonder of God's grace on the basis of the precious blood of Christ. And you cry out, Lord, Your grace is so precious. It's nothing else. Other family, other friends, their job, their best efforts can save them. But You and Your blood, the blood of Christ alone can. Just so that it has for me. Anyone is lost without it. Do you see how thinking and expressing don't just hallow God's name, but may be able to warm our hearts and instill our prayers with power, pleading, and conviction? And you realize what you're then also doing is you're not just bringing the Lord your petitions for your own glory. Lord, I want this so that then this for me. That you may plead with Him on the basis of who He is and what He has done. That's pleading with Him on the basis of His glory. Now lastly, there are likely other points to be made about how to hallow God's name. But for this afternoon, there's just one more that is key that is left. And it's really the substance, the refrain of Psalm 103. We hallow God's name by declaring and experiencing for ourselves the gospel, the forgiveness of all of our sins. David spends so much time on this in this psalm. I mean, he reminds us then who God is, that He is compassionate and that He is gracious, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Then he just goes on about what that means, about the wonderful pictures that as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. He has a sense of God's wonderful grace also for him. But that is the beginning point, that is the starting point of praising and hallowing God's name. And this has to be central to hallowing God's name. If you weren't a believer and you didn't experience this, maybe then hallowing God's name would just seem like the thing you do, like for any great person, or maybe even not so great, is that you just give them praise, you just give them glory, but then maybe at some point they may do something for you, that they may use their influence somehow to benefit you. That just hallowing God's name would be flattery. No. Prayer is different. Hallowing God's name is different. And so it also has such a different starting point. We start with what He has done for us already, what we have experienced, that He truly is good for our souls. Not seeking for Him to do something for us, but just praising Him because of what He has already done in Jesus Christ, in removing our sins, adopting us as His children, as making us His own. It is not praising Him as someone who is distant and to be adored from afar, but one who has come near in Jesus Christ to give us every reason to hallow His name. So we realize that there's no contribution, there is no flattery that we could offer that then somehow would win God's favor for us. But it's all ours in Jesus Christ. And this is why, as much as I do stress and hope that maybe encourage you in prayer, just to think, to learn to observe and remember and articulate, hallowing God's name isn't just that. Thinking, expressing, and appreciating. It really starts and has to start is believing that the blood of Christ is what makes our prayers precious in God's sight. That truly does also hallow Him. That treats His name as great and glorious. Because in that is the recognition that nothing that we could offer would make up for it. But even our best words, our best observations, our greatest thoughts. Only Christ and His blood. When we have treated God's sacrifice as valuable, then we treat His love as infinite. And His glory is far greater than anything that we could say or do or express in this lifetime. All we then do is say that it's found all of it in Jesus Christ. And that all confessed, that it is all confessed in that one petition. Hallowed be Your name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly God and Father, hallowed be Your name. We praise Your name, as You are the light of the world. And so also this afternoon, be near to all those who live in darkness, whether spiritually, whether mentally, Father, whether in the valley of the shadow of death, Father, wherever it may it be the thickest darkness, Father, would You be the light in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise Your name as holy, as the Prince of Peace. But as we observe a world in which peace is so hard to find, whether it is because of war, whether it is because of dissatisfaction with ourselves, whether it is because we are in enmity with our neighbor, Father, would You be the Prince of Peace and our hope, the peace that is to come. Father, we praise You as the rock and fortress. Father, would You be to our refuge, to all those who need a shelter. Whatever they may be going through in life, Father, would You, may we find our refuge in You. You would be a shield at our right hand and always with us, wherever we go. Father, we praise You as the master potter. And we ask You that as we go through life, that You would transform us, that You would mold us, not into who we just want to be, but that we may be those people as You have designed us uniquely. Make us all, recreate us all into the image of Christ. Would You be our hiding place? That You would keep us safe from harm? Would You be our helper? Assist us in every task that lays ahead of us this week. We praise You as the Lord of hosts. That though we may be defenseless, though we may be powerless, Father, You would defend us against any enemies, spiritually, and also those people that we struggle with. And You would be our defender. And we praise You and hallow Your name as the Almighty. That when we are helpless, that when we are powerless, Father, we know that we may rely on You. How with You there is greater power than we may even imagine that we so often pray for. And so, Father, would You help us but the more that we know you, and that we think and observe and appreciate, Father, that we may give you the glory, that we may hallow your name, and its wonderful richness, and its vibrancy, and its glory. A diamond, so many different facets, oh Father, may we never stop praising you, and finding great comfort and joy, and hallowing your name. We pray all this in Christ's name alone. Amen.